Saving Break Racks Masterclass with Clean Routing in Ableton Live, Advanced Edition. Today we're building a break rack that you can drop into any drum and bass project and instantly feel like, okay, everything's under control. Slicing is clean, sends make sense, parallel is punchy but not muddy, and the whole signal flow is disciplined. Rack into drum bus into premaster, then to master. No, where is this audio going? Moments. Let's get set up so the rack behaves the same every time. First, set your tempo somewhere in the 170 to 176 zone. Then check warp settings. For a classic break loop, warp on, beats mode, preserve transients, envelope at 100. But here's the real talk. If you're slicing, don't spiral on warp perfection. Slicing defines timing more than you think. The key is consistency. Quick pro habit. Make a little marker or a dummy MIDI track called Routing Notes. Put a short text clip there that literally says, break rack goes to drum bus goes to premaster. It sounds silly until you open the project 2 weeks later at 3 a.m. Now we build the rack. Drag in a break. Amen. Think, hot pants, funky drummer doesn't matter. Right-click the clip and choose slice to new MIDI track. Slice by transients. Create one slice per transient, and the built-in sliced beat preset is totally fine. Ableton creates a drum rack full of slices. Immediately rename the track something like Break Rack, DNB Master WIP, and then do the one thing that separates fast producers from confused producers. Start renaming pads as you identify them. Kick, snare, hat, ghost. You don't need every pad named, just the important ones and the general zones. Next, we're going to group pads, because we're not about to mix and process 32 individual slices like it's a punishment. Inside the drum rack chain list, select your kickish slices and group them. Same for snares, hats, and ghost notes are noisy little artifacts. You can think of it like building mini drum stems inside the rack. Name your groups clearly. Kick GRP, snare GRP, hats GRP, ghost/effects GRP. This matters because you can process at the group level and keep the break musical. You're shaping families of sounds, not micromanaging every transient. Now let's put in core devices. The goal is tight and predictable, not a 19-device science project. On kick GRP, at EQ8, high pass around 30 HC with a steep slope just to remove useless sub-rumble. If it's boxy, dip a couple dB around 250 to 400 with a medium Q, then a saturator. Analog clip mode, drive maybe 1 to 4 dB, soft clip on. The keyword here is nudge, not obliterate. On snare GRP, drop in drum bus. Drive somewhere in the 5 to 15% zone. Crunch low to moderate, boom very careful because DNB snares get tubby fast. Then push transients for crack, maybe plus 5 up to plus 25 depending on the break. Follow with EQ8 to tame harshness around 3 to 6K if it's biting, and optionally add snap either around 200 for body or around 4.5K for attack depending on what the snare needs. On hats GRP, use auto filter high pass somewhere between 250 and 600. Keep resonance low so you don't create that whistling hat thing. If you want density, add a tiny saturator like 1 to 2 dB drive. On ghost/FX GRP, put a utility first and turn it down, like minus 3 to minus 10 dB. Ghosts should support the groove, not steal the groove. Then EQ8. High pass 150 to 400 so they don't pollute the low end. Now for the masterclass move. Rack returns inside the drum rack. This is where your break rack becomes portable and professional. In the drum rack, reveal the returns section. Create 3 return chains and name them. Return A, Para Smash. Return B, Air Room. Return C, Dub Throw. Let's build Return A, Para Smash. This is your parallel density and aggression, but we're going to do it in a controlled way so you don't destroy the low end or smear the stereo image. Put a Galoo compressor first. Attack 0.3 milliseconds. Release auto ratio 4:1. Pull the threshold until you're getting around 5 to 10 dB of gain reduction. And leave makeup off. Set output manually so you're not tricked by loudness. Then add saturator. Soft sign or analog clip. Drive 4 to 10 dB. Soft clip on. Then EQ8, and this is critical. High pass the parallel chain at about 100 to 150 HC. This is how you avoid the classic parallel smash Lamid mud problem. If you want some air grit, add a gentle high shelf around 8 to 12K, just a dB or two. Extra coach move here, make this return mono safe by default. Put a utility at the end of the parallel chain and reduce width, even all the way to 0% if you want maximum club translation. Your dry break provides the punch and stereo detail. The parallel is there for thickness and urgency. Return B, air room. Use hybrid reverb, room or plate. Decay roughly 0.4 to 1.2 seconds. Pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds. High pass the reverb around 250 to 500. And because it's a return, keep dry slash wet at 100%. If it rings, follow with EQ and tame the 2 to 4K area. Return C, dub throw. Use echo. Time at 1/8 or 1/4. And definitely try dotted 1/8 if you want that jungle swagger. Feedback 20 to 45. Filter it. High pass around 250. Low pass around 6 to 10K. Add subtle modulation. If you want movement, add auto pan after. Rate around 1/4. Amount 20 to 40. But don't over widen drums unless the track is calling for it. Now, sends. We are controlling sends per group, not per slice. That's a big workflow upgrade. It keeps the groove consistent and prevents you from living in micro-knob hell. Set send amounts roughly like this. Kick GRP. Parallel smash basically off or tiny, like 0 to 5%, and usually no room or dub throw. Snare GRP. This is where life happens. Smash 10 to 30%, room 5 to 15, and dub throw 0 to 10 depending on how throwy you want to get. Hats GRP. Smash 5 to 20. Room 5 to 10, dub throw 0 to 10. Ghost slash FX GRP, room and dub throw can be higher if the vibe wants it. Remember, parallel chains should often feel better when you mute and unmute them, not when you solo them. If you solo your smash return and it sounds amazing, it's probably too loud in the blend. Now we do the part everybody messes up. Clean external routing. Here's the hierarchy. Break rack track goes to drum bus. Drum bus goes to premaster. Premaster goes to the master. Create an audio track called drum bus, and another called premaster. On the break rack track, set audio to drum bus. On drum bus, set audio to premaster. On premaster, set audio to master. Why premaster? Because it's your control room. You can /B loudness, print stems, and do mix bus moves without destroying whatever you've got on the master chain. It also keeps you honest. You're mixing into a controlled stage, not into a limiter panic zone. On the drum bus, keep it tight. EQ8 with a tiny high pass around 20 to 30 HC. Optional dip around 300 if the break feels cardboard. Glue compressor, attack about 3 ms. Release auto ratio 2:1, and only 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. If you want modern loudness and front of speaker snap, add a saturator in analog clip mode with soft clip on. Drive 1 to 3 dB, and utility if needed for width discipline, maybe 80 to 100% depending on the track. If you're unsure, leave it at 100 for now and test mono later. Now, macros. This is where the ruck becomes an instrument you can perform and automate. Open the macro section, and map only what you'll actually touch in a real session. Macro ideas that matter. Smash amount. Map to return ascend on snare GRP and hats GRP. Snare crack. Map to drum bus transients on snare GRP. Hat HP. Map to auto filter cutoff on hats GRP. Room send. Map to return B send on snare GRP. Dub throw. Map to return C send on snare GRP for fills. Tone. Map to a subtle high shelf on the drum bus EQ. Drive. Map to saturator drive on the kick GRP and slash or drum bus. Ghost level. Map to utility gain on ghost slash FX GRP. Now the advanced teacher note. Macro range discipline. After mapping, always edit the macro ranges. Cap your room and dub sends so you can't accidentally wash the break. A lot of the time, 0 to 25% is plenty. Cap smash so it hits a musical ceiling where the groove still breathes. And here's a sneaky pro move. If there's something you always want on, like a tiny hat high pass, set the macro minimum above 0 so the rack never loads wrong. Before we save anything, let's do gain staging. Aim for the drum rack track peaking around -10 to -6 dBFS before it hits the drum bus. Save the preset conservatively. The goal is that when you load this rack in a new project, it doesn't explode your levels and ruin your mix headroom. Also, decide now where parallel lives. Inside the rack, or outside as a shared parallel track. For this lesson, we're doing it inside the rack, because we want portability. If you later decide to do external parallel for multiple drum sources, that's totally valid, but don't stack the same kind of aggressive clipping twice unless you label it clearly and you mean to do it. Now save it properly. Click the drum rack title bar. Hit the disk icon to save preset. Name it something like Break Rack, DNB Master, Clean Routing V1. Put it in a user library folder that you can find quickly, like Presets, Instruments, Drum Rack, DNB Break Racks. Optional but highly recommended, Save an Ableton template set with drum bus and premaster already created and routed. Color code it. The point is speed and clarity. Now let's talk resampling, because modern DNB punch often comes from printing and reslicing your processed break. Method A. Recommended. Print it. Create an audio track called Break Print. Set audio from to drum bus. Set monitor to in. Arm it. And record 8 to 16 bars. Now you can do micro edits, reverse hits, fades, stretch things, and even slice your processed audio again for more finished break sound. Method B. Freeze and flatten. Faster, less deliberate, still effective. Before we wrap, quick troubleshooting checklist for when the rack feels wrong. First, is anything sending to reverb or delay that shouldn't, especially the kick group? Second, is the parallel chain clipping internally or just too loud? Third, are you getting comb filtering from layered slices or extra layers? If it gets there when you layer, polarity invert with utility and recheck, or adjust tiny track delays. Fourth, is warp messing up transient timing? Sometimes the fix is turning warp off before slicing if the break is already tight. Now a quick practice sprint, 15 minutes. Load an amen. Build the rack exactly like we did. Program an 8-bar loop. Bars 1 to 4, straight roll. Bars 5 to 6, add one extra ghost snare hit. Bar 7, automate dub throw only on the last snare. Bar 8, automate smash amount up by about 20% for a ramp. Then print it to break print. Slice the printed loop again, and compare the original sliced rack groove versus the resampled groove. Pick which feels more finished and be specific. Is it punch? Is it cohesion? Is it the density? If you want an extra advanced direction after this, try the Tubus break philosophy. One version is transient forward, tight and clean. The other is tone and sustain, more saturation and room, less transient. Blend them like you're mixing two microphones. It's an instant record feeling when done right. Recap time. You built a portable DNB break rack with internal return effects, pad groups for fast control, macros designed for real automation, and an external routing system that scales, rack to drum bus to premaster. You've got a resampling path for modern punch, and you've got discipline baked into the system, so you can move fast without losing your mind. When you're ready, tell me your sub-style for the track you're working on. Deep rollers or neuro and heavy. And I'll suggest macro caps, like exact safe maximums for smash, room, and delay feedback, plus a few macro scene states you can reuse across arrangements.